Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. Today, I am joined by AJ Wilcox, who is the CEO of B2Linked.com. I'm super pumped to have AJ with us today because we're going to be digging into exactly how to use LinkedIn ads for an account-based marketing program and actually generate tangible, serious results. AJ, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Mason, thanks so much for the invite.
I got to say, like, I love the background and like the frame that you've got. Like, I'm obviously branded, but like, I love the fact that like you have permanent branding wherever you go. I always have to like do a recording in a specific literal spot in my house. Otherwise I'm not branded and I get really stressed about it. So anyway, love the look. I'm excited to dig into it. AJ, can you just like really quickly give us the high level overview of what we're gonna be digging into today?
Yeah. So my specialty, I love LinkedIn ads. And I've been running them ever since like 2011 was my first experience with them. I've spent over $150 million. And what's so cool about LinkedIn from an ABM perspective is when the platform launched back in 2008, it was the only platform out there that let you target people by company name. And LinkedIn never really got credit for that until ABM started to become, you know, in just the last handful of years, became so big. And so LinkedIn is, if you want to test ABM at very small budgets, LinkedIn is a really good platform for that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like I call it out of LinkedIn is the only ad platform that natively has account-based advertising capabilities. So like if you wanted to use ads, you should likely start on LinkedIn. So as we dig into, obviously, given the context that LinkedIn is like the best native ad platform for account-based advertising, can you walk us through some of the practical aspects of like, how do you actually find an audience on LinkedIn to then build an ad campaign around?
For sure. So going back a ways, the very first way that you could do ABM on LinkedIn was in the targeting. There's a facet there called company name. And so when you build a campaign, you can click that and start typing companies by name. But the early limitation was that you could only target 100 of something. So if you had a list of more than 100 names of companies, now you have to break that up into separate different campaigns. And so I've actually done this for a client who wanted to target the Fortune 500. I would enter in all 500, 100 at a time in different campaigns. That sucked. So fast forward, even just like 3 years ago, LinkedIn upped the limit. So now we could target up to 200 company names in a campaign. So helps a little bit, but then, and I want to say it was like 2017 or 2018, they gave us the ability to upload lists into LinkedIn. So we can upload either a list of up to 300,000 companies, or we can even upload a list of individuals. So if that gets exciting for you ABMers, that's pretty exciting too. And we can use those lists to either target people in a campaign for ads, or we can even use them as an exclusion for things like, hey, I want to keep my competitors from seeing my ads. Add your competitors as an exclusion. Current and past customers who you already have relationships with. Yeah, cut them from your ads so you don't have to pay for them.
No, I love that. And specifically the list upload component, I just think that's such a huge opportunity because like you can pull data from a lot of different places. Back on episode 21, we were talking with the CEO of Propensity. And on the free tier of Propensity, you can get third-party intent data and up to 100 accounts on a weekly basis. So like, you just export those. He was like, yeah, just upload them to LinkedIn. And like, you get the match rates and you're good to go. So I just, again, I think for a lot of people trying to figure out where to start, like a list upload of data from a separate source is an incredible place to actually get running with that audience find.
Are there any other places you recommend people start thinking through, like, how do I even find the audience in the first place to build an ABM program around in LinkedIn?
Most of our clients will bring their own data. They'll bring company lists. But some ways that we've built it, there are platforms like builtwith.com and DataNize, I think, where you can go to them and say, give me a list of the companies who use this specific technology. So we've done that with something like, show me all the companies, download a list that use Salesforce. Now we know we're only targeting companies that are using Salesforce, and then you can layer on top of that, like they have to have this job title or be in this industry.
No, super smart for all of our friends over in the SaaS world that are trying to find those complementary tooling, or our service friends that are exclusively, I think that's super smart for a lot of HubSpot agencies to like only obviously target HubSpot users. So super smart. I'm curious then, generally we think through like distribution channels. Obviously LinkedIn ads will be our primary distribution channel, but I'm curious, like, as you think through the nuances of like the different kinds of ad programs from a distribution perspective, like what are some of your recommendations on the actual kinds of ad programs that you could run in LinkedIn?
As for formats, here's the challenge that I think people have run into, and I'd love to hear if you've seen the same thing. When you start to approach an ABM program, I've seen a lot of marketers think like, oh, I'm being really targeted with my ads to the right companies. That means that I can treat them like they're at the bottom of the funnel. And what I've had to tell people over and over is, no, just because you specified this list of companies is perfect for us, it doesn't mean that they already know, like, and trust you. And you have to treat them like they're at the top of the funnel rather than the bottom. And so on the ads, like, we'll obviously talk more about creative and that kind of strategy, but I always focus on, okay, these are your ideal customers. Great. Let's go after them, but let's give them stuff that gets their attention and gets them to know, like, and trust you before we treat them like they're, meat at a meat market.
Yeah. And like, unless it's retargeting, like, you don't even know if they're brand aware. Like, if you're just doing a pure list upload of like, these are our ideal customers, like, you're largely should be running an awareness campaign, even if it's an account-based program. And nobody loves awareness level ABM programs. But again, I've said this a lot. Nobody can buy from you if they don't know that you exist. So like, account-based advertising for the purposes of awareness, not a bad play. So with that, let's go ahead and dig into the creative component. Because again, I'm sure you've heard this, every day of your life, because you work in LinkedIn advertising. LinkedIn ads just don't work. Like, I hear the same thing. Oh, ABM just doesn't work. And it's like, well, no, it works. LinkedIn's a pretty big company. ABM is a pretty big category. Like, it works. It's probably just something that you're doing wrong. And nobody likes to hear that, but it's reality. And often what goes wrong is the content and the creative. So as we're thinking through content and creative for LinkedIn ad campaigns, like, what are the standard things that you're seeing that work generally super well for actually pushing people towards a different asset?
Yeah, I think right now, the very highest performing creatives you can run, just in June of 2023, LinkedIn released thought leader ads. So it used to be that all of your ads came from your company. And I don't know about you, but when I'm scrolling down my newsfeed and a company shows up that I've never heard of before, I keep scrolling. And we definitely see that in ad performance. The average click-through rate of a LinkedIn ad is like 0.5%. So it feels like pulling teeth trying to get anyone to engage with your ads. But now with thought leader ads, what you're doing is you're putting spend behind an individual's post. And we're seeing click-through rates that are 10 to 15 times higher than what they were before. So if I could say, like, the best way of getting your audience's attention, put a human in front of them that is giving them something of value so that they get to know that person. It's so much easier for us as humans to get to know people and start to trust them. And then they'll start trusting the brand that they represent. So start out with thought leader ads. Those are incredible.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent for a lot of our podcast clients. We're running thought leadership ads as a way of growing their audience. And like, you're right. We run them through company pages. We're running them through personal pages. And like, the personal page is just so much greater. And I just didn't, admittedly, we're running it exclusively around podcasting. So like, obviously in a podcast context, it's largely personal brand driven, but it's helpful to hear that ad format is working super well across the board. I'm curious around any other, for those that, like, admittedly, I think you and I are largely personal brand driven organizations at the moment. So for those organizations that don't have like the evangelist or the frequent speaker, there is a lot of very large organizations that don't have a face. So I'm curious, for those organizations that may not have the person to run thought leader ads up against, like, what are the formats that are working really well and the content creator that's working really well from a company page?
Yeah. So if you're in that situation right now, be on the lookout for an internal thought leader that you could use in the future, because that will be game changer for you going forward. But if you're not there yet, we have plenty of clients who are. Two other ad formats I think work extremely well. One is a document ad. And the documents, they, like, you can upload a PDF or a PowerPoint presentation or something, and then people can like flip through the different slides or pages. And when LinkedIn released this, like, you know, a bunch of years ago, I tried them out and went, ugh, they don't work. And they didn't work because I was uploading an ebook or a guide. And when 90% of your audience is looking at their newsfeed on their mobile device, a page of text this big, like, it looks really daunting to them. So yeah. What we've suggested is change your document around to where it's not just pages and pages, you know, full of text. You call out one big point as like big on the slide and treat it more like a highlight reel. And we're finding those are working extremely well too.
So, because I saw a lot of people when the carousel, and I don't remember if that's even the appropriate terminology, but like the carousels on LinkedIn were a huge hit. And then I've seen them not as much on personal pages, but I've heard that they're doing really well in paid. Like, why do you think that they're working so well for paid for companies as a content asset in the LinkedIn ads?
Well, it's actually really funny you bring that up, because we had carousel ads back in, I want to say like 2015 or 2016, and they're one of the most expensive ad formats, and I couldn't figure out why. Like, what about this is making them more expensive? And I figured it out. What happens is the way that LinkedIn charges, when you say, I want to pay by click, if the same person clicks on one pane of the carousel and then clicks on the second, you just got charged twice. Like, the same session, they're charging you multiple clicks, which blows my mind. So when they came out with document ads, it doesn't follow the same rules. And so what I would do is say, hey, take whatever you were running as a carousel, stitch it together in one PDF and run it as a document. And all of a sudden, hey, it's engaging again. And they become one of the cheapest ad formats on LinkedIn.
That's super smart. And also pretty bad on LinkedIn for the, horrible. For the carousel. Okay. Before I move on, because admittedly, like, and forgive me for saying it this way, but a lot of people can get started on LinkedIn ads from a distribution perspective. Like, it's not hard to put in your credit card and start running an ad. Where they fall down often is on the targeting components and just the creative. And I think you outlined some great targeting ideas. Like, if you put in a list of your best fit potential customers, you know you're going after the right people. Now, maybe there's some nuances in the persona components of like who in those companies we're going after. But at least from a company level, you've got that down. So I'm just curious, are there any other tips and pieces of the advice that you would be able to give just specifically around the content and the creative that we're pushing out to these audiences?
Yeah, I think, and the one ad format I neglected to land on was video ads, especially coming from a person. Like, if you see a person talking, you generally pay attention. If it just looks like a regular brand video, you might ignore it the same way. But with those three ad formats, it's a great way of like sharing you know, whatever message you have. So then when you start thinking about what is the actual message, the content that I'm going to be sharing, and with these cold audiences who don't, they're not brand aware, they're not, they're problem aware, but they're not aware of you yet. Sharing things that are educational, helpful, timely is always in season. And that's the first touch that I would do is like, do you have industry insights into something going on that your customers should know about? You become the news source. That's cool. Here's tips on how to do your job better. You know, from our perspective where we help you do this, here's how you can do it. And then of course, if you want it easier, come do business with us is you know, kind of that feeling. That kind of content works well as what I would consider top of the funnel. Then what we do is we set up retargeting audiences where as soon as you engage with one of those helpful assets, we move you to another campaign, show you something that maybe more like a, come join us on a webinar, listen to this podcast episode, things that are a little bit more time intensive. And then when you do that, then we graduate you down to the bottom of the funnel where then whatever ad format you want, you're saying, hey, do you want to talk to someone about this? This is how we help you.
I love that. And that actually directly leads into kind of this last piece, which is, again, how are we measuring the success of any of these programs? So you just kind of walk through, hey, you've got these top of funnel assets that then lead into middle of funnel, that then lead into bottom of funnel. I am curious, you know, as you're talking with all of your clients, I'm sure you're like me in the sense that everybody's like, oh, that's all great. Like, we love good engagement, but like, you know, where's the revenue? Like, where's the pipeline? So again, I'm curious in that context, like, how are you setting the expectation that like a video ad that's viewed one time probably will not convert into revenue, but it's these various touch points that come together. And then how do you actually measure that and attribute it back to the LinkedIn ad campaigns?
Yeah. So LinkedIn's doing a really good job right now of working on technology solutions to close the loop. So they have what's called the conversions API, or CAPI for short. Now with whatever CRM you're using, or even through Google Tag Manager, when someone becomes a lead, or when someone lands in your CRM, or when they graduate to a certain status in your CRM, like closed one, you can pass that data back to LinkedIn, and then LinkedIn can patch it together and say, ooh, okay, here were the deals that closed. Here was how LinkedIn contributed to that. So many impressions, so many clicks. So that's cool. They also have another separate solution called Revenue Attribution Report, where you hook it into your CRM. It only supports HubSpot, Salesforce, and Dynamics right now, but they all pass that data right back to LinkedIn, and you can see those, see data on those. But even if you're not using those, one of the cool things that you can do is in LinkedIn, you go look at that audience. It's under audiences. You click on the audience of the companies you've uploaded, and then they'll actually show you which companies are engaging most with your ads. I think they limit it to like the top 25 or top 50 or something, but you can actually see by company name, which companies are receiving the most impressions, who's clicking through the most. And that becomes something you can send to your sales team and say, hey, it sure looks like Hewlett Packard is engaging a lot with our stuff. Tell whichever rep is over them to reach out. That's a cool thing you can do as well.
That's super smart. Specifically in the, like, a lot of what we're doing are very early stage engagement models. So like those simple touch points, it's not the complexity that's like, how do we bring in third-party intent data and our first-party engagement data? But like, hey, we're running a LinkedIn ad campaign and these people are seeing lots of our ads, they're clicking through on things, they're highly engaged, at least within this one channel. Maybe it's worth a follow-up and just helping them to understand the, again, if you're, and granted, if there's like website engagement data that you've got, you can retarget based on your website, probably a better place to start than just purely LinkedIn ads. But also if you're just doing pure cold outbound, people at least know that you exist. There's a high likelihood that they'll actually respond and resonate well. So I love the call out there. As far as like budgets, you know, again, a lot of people view LinkedIn as the most expensive advertising platform. So there's some hesitancy as like a thought process of getting started on LinkedIn. So I'm curious, like, what do you recommend as a starting budget to build an ABM program?
Really good question. Because if you wouldn't have qualified it by saying for an ABM program, I would have said, oh, I wouldn't suggest starting with a budget of anything less than $5,000 a month. Because LinkedIn ads are expensive. They take a lot of time. You really need to be in. But because this is specifically for ABM, when we upload a list, we could upload an ABM list of, you know, 100 companies, or we could upload a list of 300,000 companies. And depending on the number of people in that audience really changes the level of spend. So if you're being scrappy and you have an audience list or a company list of like, you know, 300 companies, and there might be, you know, two or three roles at each of those companies that are relevant to your ads, you're talking to an audience that's less than 1,000 people. You don't need much budget to do that, to be like in their newsfeed every single time one of these people logs in, and it's not going to take much budget. So I would say, like, depending on your audience size, you might be able to do $1,000 or even less a month and really solidly stay in front of these people.
That's super helpful. And I'm just even thinking through, like, sorry, now I'm going to ask a selfish consultative question, because like we early organization, so, you know, I've got an operator that's way smarter than I am. That's like, we're actually technically pre-ICP. I'm like, okay, that's great. But like, if I wanted to get in front of more of the right kind of people, how would target those? And it sounds like there's a world in which we could actually like take our customer list and build a look-like audience and then just advertise to them. And like, not a crazy big list.
Yeah, true. LinkedIn has a new functionality. They used to have lookalikes. They retired them. They replaced it with something called predictive audiences, and that's exactly what it is. It's very meta-like, where you give it a list, and there's a slider bar for like how liberal do you want me to be with who I find who's related, and it automatically excludes the seed list. So you're talking only to newer people. So very cool that way. I like to. Most people think about job title targeting. So if you have a list of 100 company names and you say these are the job titles you want, realize that LinkedIn only understands like 30 to 50% of job titles. So if you're only targeting by job title, you're probably going to miss a good chunk of who you want to hit. So instead, I like to broaden it by the department someone's in. LinkedIn calls it your job function, as well as your level of seniority. So if we're going after marketing directors or marketing VPs, rather than using the job title marketing director, VP marketing, we say job function marketing, seniority, director, and VP. And all of a sudden, my audience size just doubled, tripled, quadrupled because LinkedIn is now able to find more of those people who are already a good fit. And that's a great way of expanding your audience.
Yeah, marrying that with the exact target accounts that you're trying to go after. Like, I think people, especially in the ABM world, hear, oh, the audience got bigger. That's not always a good thing. But if it's in the context of these are the named accounts we want to go after, that is a good thing. 'Cause like, I'm just thinking through specifically in the world of marketing, you've got some weird titles. Like I was a director of growth. Like nobody is searching for that ever. So all that to say, I love the idea of calling out like function plus seniority against a named account list as a targeting component. Final couple
Amen.
of questions for you. Like any unexpected roadblocks that kind of come up as you go to build a LinkedIn ad program for an account-based marketing program?
Yeah, I think getting access to the lists is that first roadblock. This happens all the time where talking to a client, we're like, hey, wouldn't it be great if you could get a list of all the companies who do X or Y or are a good fit? They end up having to go to a sales team or a sales ops person and figure out where in the CRM do I get this list. If you're using a CRM that integrates with LinkedIn like HubSpot does, you can send in dynamic audiences. And so it's like if the marketer doesn't know how to do that, or if their marketing ops person has to get involved, that's a roadblock too. But I love using dynamic lists because then when you say, hey, we just closed this company, we no longer need to advertise to them, HubSpot makes that update, removes that company from the list, and now you're not wasting money on people who are already paying you money.
Yeah, I really love, like, I have a massive, massive love of HubSpot ad extension because I think it's such an underutilized tool for account-based marketing. And like the call out just makes life easier operationally. Like that's such a huge thing. And I think it's only like an additional, it's either 50 or 500. And I know that's radically different depending on your budgets, but like it's either 50 or $500 a month to add the HubSpot ad extension. And if you're running a lot of ad programs, it's worth every penny.
Totally. Pass
Final.
those dynamic lists in. Don't
Heck yeah.
upload stuff manually anymore.
Heck yeah. All right, last question for you. Like, as people are thinking about building an ABM program, are there any other pieces of advice you'd like to give people just as they're thinking through actually getting started?
I think get access to those lists. Be thinking about who would make a great fit to this list. Also, be in touch with your sales team. Right now, LinkedIn is running a beta, so I'm expecting this to roll out probably in the next 6 months, where if your sales team is using LinkedIn Sales Navigator and they're tagging people as like, this would be a perfect fit for us, eventually you're going to be able to pass those people directly into LinkedIn ads to target them with whatever you choose. So start that relationship, make sure you're thinking about who would make a good audience list, how to get access to that. And then as soon as those lists are in LinkedIn, it's easy. It's just like any other platform where you define who the audience is and start, uploading ads.
I love it. Well, again, AJ, thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. Shoot me a connection request, AJ Wilcox, and just make sure to customize the request. Let me know that you heard me on Mason's show. That'd be awesome. Also, b2linked.com is our agency. I've got a podcast, the LinkedIn Ads Show. I've got a community called the LinkedIn Ads Fanatics that people can join if you're managing LinkedIn ads at a high level and you want to join brands with the very best. Check those out. But yeah, hit me up. Access to anything, I'm more than happy to share.
I love it. Well, AJ, thank you again so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. Hope you all enjoyed, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.